sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Good shooting, John. That's not bad for an old geezer like you.
I love these laser-guided, remote-controlled, can't-miss torpedoes. I am John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another week of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look, because it's our favorite way of doing it, to laugh a little bit and to enjoy life, and also a serious look at the issues of evolution and creation.
It's fun to laugh because there's a lot of funny things in this whole the subject of creation evolution, some of the funny things that are out there. But you know, John, today I think we're going to get a smidge more serious. In fact, we're going to go from laughter to fear as we, going to be a little scary.
Be afraid. Be very afraid, listener.
We spent a lot of time in Sink the Beagle on the left side of the Bible in Genesis, but today
The Hebrew Bible. It's the right side.
That's about origins.
Now we're going to go into the right side of the Greek Bible.
We're going to go with Greek. We'll always be right in this program, but we're going to go to Revelation today to see how some of the things end. And, you know, the book of beginnings is Genesis, but the book of endings is Revelation. And it talks about the last days in Revelation.
Yes, and before we actually get into the actual book of Revelation, though, I want to back into evolutionary ideas, and what does the end look like from evolutionary ideas?
What would be the book of Revelation for evolution?
The evolution says, well, there is no ending. It's just going to go on and on and on, humanity might go out with a big fizzle on Earth. But
asteroid or something.
Asteroid, but those asteroids will still be flinging around, and stars will be burning out. And eventually, if you take evolutionary theory based on the Big Bang physicists, eventually everything goes out.
Yes, because
and it
the
becomes
Big Bang,
dark again.
Yeah, it goes from Big Bang and an expansion to kind of reversal and what we call a big crunch.
Or if it doesn't go into a big crunch, it just burns out.
Just burns
out.
Well, I can see a fizzle.
A fizzle.
But that's if you're into evolution. But the Bible has something different, because instead of us starting with a big bang and an uncontrolled by chance sort of thing of getting here, everything is controlled. Creation is controlled. And we talked about it last week on Sink the Beagle, and we talked about the Logos and how there before matter and things, there was a mind who had reason and planned the whole thing.
And he's the one that sustains it and redeems it.
And
but it also talks about his end.
And talk about the end. And the end is also under control of that great creator God. But in particular, let's start with the Sink the Beagle torpedo text kind of early in this.
Revelation 14:6. Hit it there, Stan.
Revelation 14. That's right. And just a reminder to those who may not know this, the word angel means messenger. The word angel means messenger, okay, in Greek. Here it is. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven.
Sounds urgent.
With a message, I'm sure. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Okay, here it is. What's that gospel message? Saying with a loud voice, fear God.
Ooh, be afraid.
Be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Very afraid. Now, but without reading the rest of it just yet, that's kind of an odd way to start a gospel presentation.
But it depends on the context which you face.
Okay.
See, everything is context. The Bible is faced in a context of, in the end of Revelation 13, there is this terrible beast who's ready to kill everybody. I mean, it causes everyone, small and great, the rich and poor, everyone to have who doesn't fall down to this beast to receive the mark on their forehead and hands. Those people who don't receive it are going to be slain.
Okay, not a puppy, this is a beast.
And so God says, hey, you know what, I got something to be more afraid of than just what earthly powers and satanic agencies might represent. Fear me. You want to be afraid, in a sense, but it's not so much be afraid.
Well, we want to talk about that a minute, and let's expand a little bit on that, because Jesus even said at one point when he was talking to some of the people of his day, and they were worried about Romans, they were worried about all kinds of things, they were afraid of a lot of things. Jesus said, let me tell you who you ought to be afraid of.
Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body.
Yeah, and after that, they can't do anything to you. Why don't you be afraid of the one who can determine your eternal destiny after you're dead, your body's dead, can make sure you don't come back.
Yeah.
Be afraid of him. And it's funny the way he says it. I tell you, be afraid of him.
Yeah. Okay. If you're going to be trembling, be afraid of what they do. But in the sense he says, fear me. And
yeah. Now, fear. I mean, does it mean to be afraid? Because doesn't 1 John say, perfect love casts out all fear?
And of course, Jesus also says when he comes to people who are afraid, the first thing he often says is, Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Fear not.
Right.
I am, you know.
Angels say that a lot.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the picture here? I think it reflects the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord. And
fear
that's
of the
not
Lord,
necessarily
yes.
be afraid, but the definition I want to give it is, I think, going through the evidence of the Old Testament scriptures is, it's a sustained reverential awe.
Now, unpack that a little bit.
In other words, in the Old Testament, the idea of the fear of the Lord, it says in like Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear mm-hmm. of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Ah.
Or Job would say it in 28:28, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Okay.
And to depart from evil is understanding. And there's several concepts going on here.
The
first one is the beginning. Our mm-hmm. first conscious
Ooh.
Thought
Genesis.
Is that God is God and we are not.
Oh.
God is God. He is creator. He is maker. We aren't gods. I can't control the weather. I can barely control, you know, the various little aspects of my life.
I can't even keep the car on the road. You know?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, whatever. The whole point is that God is God and we are not. And as a result of that, if he exists and we are in control and we believe he exists, there should be an element of saying, ooh, he can make things. He creates the universe, and yet mm-hmm. he also made me. And there's a level of reverence. There is also a sustained idea that he's among us. He's present. And it has this idea of awe, too. It's just, wow. And when you have that, it impacts you because it says to depart from evil is understanding. To show you fear God, it impacts how you live. How you think about the rest mm-hmm. of your existence, mm-hmm. how you think about other people.
Yep.
So you carry God with you in your everyday life.
And you know, if you are aware of the presence of God, everything changes. Everything changes and your whole attitude about life. And, you know, we think about Moses when he was aware of the presence of God. Sometimes he'd be told to take off his shoes and, you know, his sandals and everything. And if you are aware, and again, I think I've argued with you before, John, a little bit about this or talked about it. There's one thing about being aware of God way up there in the heavens, mm-hmm. but to be aware of God being right here present, that kind of straightens you up and gets your attention.
Yeah, and the one thing is we live in a society that has no fear. The mm-hmm. context of this
right.
end time message in which the angel is screaming is saying, There's a culture which is postmodern, has no absolutes.
Yeah, you got t-shirts there's that say no fear.
No fear. No God. Mm-hmm. Why be afraid? And God's saying, oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
You have a reason. There is an ultimate being that you need to mm-hmm. take into consideration in whom we move and live and have our being.
Well, let's finish off the rest of the text then, because it says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.
It follows up with the two thoughts again, mm-hmm. much like Job, it says, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of obedience. Giving glory to him is a reflection of accrediting to him what he deserves, and also reflected in the life of, I am creature and he is creator. My life should reflect a character as well.
Well, for the hour, and here's an urgency, and here is probably why this message is critical for those living in the last days when this beast you talked about in Revelation 13 is causing havoc in the world. God says, here's the everlasting gospel. Fear God or have a reverential awe for God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea. Now, that's all creation stuff there. And the springs of water. Now, that's an interesting phrase. What does springs of water mean in this context?
Well, the springs of water could possibly refer to, one possibility is as a reference to the flood. We knew several things about that,
mm-hmm.
these passages. One
mm-hmm.
thing is that it's a God who not only can create, but also a God who can destroy.
Judgment.
And the phrase before it, the God who creates the heavens, the earth, and the sea, this is mm-hmm. probably that this is the longest quotation or reference in the whole book of Revelation, and it's referring to the Sabbath command of Exodus 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only, it's worship God who is the creator as he has established it for you. Return to true Sabbath keeping. You know,
that's
that really
right,
is
the memorial of creation.
So it's a call to a postmodern generation who does no longer believe in absolutes,
mm-hmm.
does not believe God exists, does not believe that God is a creator, does not really worship it. They worship themselves. They worship the creature.
Mm-hmm.
They worship the
mm-hmm.
very small and puny, when God is saying, you need to have a sustained reverential awe for something that's much greater and grander, who not only made things, but also caused judgment to come once. There's a judgment hour coming
yeah.
again, and you need to be aware of this. I don't want
yeah.
you to be lost. That's why it's good news. It's a warning.
It's a warning. And, you know, you can't take this warning seriously, at least I don't think you can, if you make the book of Genesis, and in particular the flood story, a myth or something that never happened. To me, the power behind the Revelation warning is, listen, God judged the world once before with the springs of waters that he used to judge it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take this warning idly. Don't think it's an idle threat. This is serious.
Yeah.
Judgment is coming on the world. God is going to deal with the wickedness of this world again, destroy the wicked, and he will provide a way out like he did with the ark before. But I tell you what, you better be, okay, reverential awe, well, maybe even a little bit afraid of what's coming on, and take the proper way of protecting yourself. Get in the ark, and that's Jesus.
And one thing that it does do, and in the positive sense, is the when you have this fear God, taking him seriously, reverentially, mm-hmm. which is kind of that little bit of he's the one you have mm-hmm. to do with,
mm-hmm.
Is this idea that it leads, it has an out reflective. When you get to that point where you accept his reality, this message, mm-hmm. it has a byproduct, and it's called humility. In other words, we don't have to, it tells you that you need to humble your heart before mm-hmm. this mighty being. You are God, he is not. And humility is the outworking. You notice that Moses is the meekest man, a humble man,
right.
a man of great humility. Jesus mm-hmm. himself reflects that humility when he walks the earth toward his Father, the attitude that we should display.
Mm-hmm.
Our God is a humble God, too.
Taking on human flesh, right.
Philippians mm-hmm. 2 mm-hmm. talks about the descent of this God.
Right.
And the way you get that is not necessarily to work on being humble before God, but to work on focusing on his very being of just who he is,
being
the grandeur
aware
of
his presence,
God.
Too. Yeah, when you're in his presence, it'll change you.
Yeah, I like how the New Testament book of Peter says it. Mm-hmm. I think it's 1 Peter 5, 6, or 7. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one that's going to cause the judgment, mm-hmm. and he will raise you up.
And what's funny, if you think about this, is gospel is really introduced with a fear God message. But, you know, if you think about it, John, if you really were afraid of God or feared God, you wouldn't be afraid of anything else. In the sense, what I mean, in the biblical sense of fearing God, if you take God seriously, if you humble yourself, as you say, before the presence of God, then whatever else does it matter? I mean, that's why Jesus said, let me tell you who to be afraid, and everything else will be okay. You won't worry about this other stuff.
You can radically
focus
trust
on God.
You can radically trust
because
who
is
am?
He? Look at how big he is. Look at how glorious he is. He's in charge of everything. What are you worried about? He'll take care of you. He'll direct your life.
What's 70 under this kind of being?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a wonderful message. It's a warning of a loving God. It's mm-hmm. it's God saying, I don't want to give you up,
mm-hmm.
but you need to understand first things first. I am God. You are not.
Mm-hmm.
I made you. I created you. We are created for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And worship is a natural response to such a loving God.
Yeah.
I had to destroy this world once.
Yep.
I'm not allowing sin to go on forever. There is going to be an end of sin.
And just like he did before, he will provide an ark. There will be a way out, and that's why the message is out there. It's coming. This destruction is coming, but guess what? I provided a way for you to escape the destruction, and by all means, please take advantage of it because I love you and care about you. That's why I'm warning you.
And if you humble yourself mm-hmm. under the mighty hand of God, it doesn't mean that you sit there and cower and try to make yourself humble. When you focus on the fear God aspect, he raises you up. He's in the saving business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you have to worry about him smacking you down.
Mm-hmm.
He is a God who wants to lift you up. And that's what we want to hopefully give you a hope for mm-hmm. as you listen to this program of Sink the Beagle each week.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray that you'll be blessed by it.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from 7 stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.